because that's true. He loves us much more than we deserve. Wow. And the crazy thing about it is, he's got the wherewithal to back it up. Wow. Wow. Whew. You ever love somebody, but you didn't have the wherewithal to do what you wanted to do for that person? God has always got the wherewithal. What he needs is receiving, accepting vessels. The only thing that can stop God's love and God's grace and God's mercy from getting to you is you. Wow. He'll never run short. He'll never run out. We sing a song, and I don't know how everybody sees it in their head, but his love never runs out. His love never runs out. You could take the pitcher and pour it. And love will keep pouring out. It'll never go empty. His love will never go empty. And you will never see God's love open a door and run out of the room on you. Wow. And he's got the wherewithal to back it up. I think that's awesome. Amen. He's got the wherewithal to back it up. Now, my for me is that, will I let it get to me? What I mean by that, will I receive it? Will I accept it? Will I remove the roadblocks? Will I remove the things? Will I remove the lies from the enemy that try to get between me and him and say, well, yeah, he's got it for you, but... Wow. Turn and look at somebody and say, yep, I'll remove every obstacle. I'm not going to let anything keep the love of God from getting to me. I'm not going to let the lies of the devil. I'm not going to let the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to let anything. Praise God. Amen. Father, we love you. We worship you and praise you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you. Thank you. And Father, may the Holy Spirit open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open up our hearts. Help us see. Help us understand. Father, it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who searches the deep things of you. Yes, yes, the deep things of you. And he's the one who reveals them to us. He's the one that brings the light and the understanding and the revelation to our hearts. So, Father, we want him to be free to do whatever he wants to do in this place and through us and in us. And thank you. And Father, I thank you for the ability to just minister and say and get out what you want me to get out, get done what you want me to get done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you can take your Bibles this morning and start by going to Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. You know what? I am really glad you're here. Hallelujah. It would be a bummer if you weren't. Standing here looking at a bunch of blue empty chairs. That'd be a bummer. Romans chapter 12. How many of you have had me, when you've come in the church, you've gotten some scriptures on a sheet of paper. How many of you still have those with? How many of you have hung on to them? And who in here doesn't have one? Doesn't have one? Because Ron over there has got some, and my wife here has got some. And if you don't have one of these, raise your hand, and they'll get one to you, because we're going to get to read from that today. It's the Passage Translation, and I think I'll actually get to Romans chapter 15 in that today. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Yes, Ernie.
We took a boat and we're all pretty glad that you're here this morning also.
Thank you. So, Did I just hear you say that was 100%?
Yes, sir.
Woo! Thank you, Ernie. I love you. Oh, Romans chapter 12. I can't get away from, I love the question in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 in this, the Passion translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I like questions because for me they make me think. What should be my proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Then he answers it. I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice. I guess for me, I would put it this way. God hears my life. And I say, yes, Lord. I say, yes, Lord. Whatever you ask me to do, I say, yes, Lord. Anything the Father asks me to do, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's my proper response. That's my right response. And how many of us know that whenever you respond to God with a yes, Lord, in what he has for your life, you will not regret it. You will not regret it. And life is more than the years we live on the face of this earth. Life is a lot more than the years we live on the face of this earth. How many of you think Peter regrets his decision to follow Jesus? And if history's correct, he was crucified upside down next to his wife. And he still doesn't regret his life, his choice to follow Jesus. You ask him when you get to heaven, do you regret your choice to say yes to Jesus? He'll tell you, no, I don't regret it. I couldn't imagine. Looking and seeing my wife crucified. I couldn't imagine it. But Peter said yes. John said yes. And they went through what they went through. And they have no regrets. What does that tell us about saying yes? It's worth it. It's worth it. Every time it's worth it. Turn and look at someone and say, it's worth it. Every time. Every time it's worth it. When Stephen was getting stoned to death, it's worth it. It's worth it. He looks up and he sees heaven open. And there's Jesus standing up. Wow. It's worth it. What's he asking us to do? It could range in a lot of different ways, couldn't it? A lot of different ways. What's our proper response? I just like the question. I like it because it challenges me. I like it because it makes me think, what is my proper response to such a great mercy? And then I want to emphasize this. I will never regret saying yes. Never. Yeah, but what might the sacrifice be? I don't believe it'll be the sacrifice Peter made. I don't believe it's going to be the sacrifice that Stephen made. If they could do that and have no regrets, surely I can do what he's asking me to do and have no regrets. If they can do that and have no regrets, surely we can do that and have no regrets. Amen? Amen. We can do that. Just, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody ought to just go, woohoo! A preacher just preached the shortest sermon in the world and we're going home at 10:35 today. That would shock you if I quit right now, wouldn't it? I'm half tempted to do that. Half. You know, it's teetering. It could go 49-51, you know, and if that happens, boom. Wow. I'm so tempted. I really am. You wouldn't forget the sermon, would you? There would be a sermon that I preached that you wouldn't forget. Father, thank you for this time together. All right. What's our proper response? Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Yes, Lord. Ah, I think I got verse 2 on that sheet of paper I handed out to you. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you. I like that. Stop imitating. Wow. You know what? If you're an imitation, you're not an original. And we need the original you. We need the God created, the God designed you. Amen? I don't want an imitation of you where you're copying the world. I'd rather have the real thing. Hey man, I never saw it in that light before, but I like this right now. I like this right now. See, I could be a copy of something in the world, and that's what you see of me. Or I can be the original of who God created me to be, and that's what you get. Which would you rather have? Well, what would you rather have amongst the people in here? The original. The one that God designed you to be, the one that God created you to be. Amen? Glory to God. Yeah, thank you, Kimmy. Woo! That's right. You know, and I liked what Keith Moore said years ago down at Rhema. If you know, a lot of people tend to see to copy people, even copy people in ministry. And he said, you know, if you're a copy, if you're copying somebody else, the best you can ever be is second. It's the best you can ever be if you're copying someone else. And the rest of us are cheated. Because we don't get the uniqueness of you. We don't get that wonderfulness of you that only you can bring. And you know what's so cool? Did you know there's an element of your life that only you can bring to the Father? You have something to give God that nobody else is capable of giving him. Wow. Nobody else can give to the Father that uniqueness that you can give him. That relationship, that friendship, that time together. In other words, he finds a satisfying that he can only get from you. Nobody else can meet that place in him. Wow. Isn't that awesome? The creator of heaven and earth cannot find this particular thing anywhere but in me. What's that say about you and how God longs for you? There is something in you that he can't get without you. Whew. Wow. Yeah, I just turn and look at somebody and go, wow. 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 I mean, you know what? We do matter. We are important. We're valuable to the Father. And he wants us as he designed and created us to be. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you, but inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through total reformation. There's the word I was looking for yesterday, sweetie. Through total reformation of how you think. To really just totally change the way we think. And how many of you know we won't do that apart from the Word of God? I like this because it brings the Holy Spirit into it, but I also have the knowledge and the knowing that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way my mind needs to get renewed is the Word of God is going to play a vital role. And when we let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit work together, it's not just nuts and bolts and head knowledge up here. It's life and life more abundantly. It's truth. It's light. It's liberty. It's freedom. It's joy. It's peace. It's contentment in the middle of the biggest storm in the world. Whoa! God, you're so good. Amen? So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you, but inwardly be transformed by the Holy Spirit, a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will. I like that also. How many in here have ever struggled, I want to know the will of God? Here's two huge elements. Two huge elements. Get your mind renewed to the Word of God. Did you know there is a lot written in the Word of God that just lets you know the will of the Father? There's a lot. It's not like it's this great mystery. But I also know this when people say that. I just want to know what God's will is for me. It's like, should I move here? Should I take this job? Should I do that? Should I do this, right? Okay? The fastest way to get those answers is in the renewing of the mind to God's word and to God's way of thinking. Because see, sometimes when we hang on to our own thinking up here and that's what we go by, God has a different way of thinking about that situation that's going to open up whole new things. And when we start to see it his way, oh! It gets easier for us to find the will of the Father. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I hope that's making sense. Well, if you want to get to what the... sometimes we complicate the matter. Sometimes we make it too hard. Sometimes we make it too tough. You know, here's a great way. I get reminded of this every once in a while. Folks in the church bring it up. It's easier to steer a moving car. Be doing what you know to do. Be loving people. Be forgiving people. Be kind to people. Be helpful to people. Be doing the things you know to do. Be reading your Bible. Be fellowshipping together. Be merciful. Do the things you know to do. The more you do the things you know to do, the more will be revealed to you. And then obey those things that get revealed to you, even when they're a little scary. And they will be sometimes. They will be sometimes. They'll be a little scary. They'll be a little uncomfortable. I'm kicking myself. The other day, about a week ago, I don't usually do this, but the other day I did, and there was a gal walking along, and I don't want to be just led by sight when it comes to praying for people. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And every time I see something limping, every time I see somebody limping, doesn't mean I should go pray for them. But this time, it came up 2-3 times in my heart. But I already had my car backed out of the spot. You know, I was already getting ready to put it in drive and go, and we were in the parking lot of Walmart. And I thought about, honey, I got to stop. We're going to go pray for this lady. But I didn't do it. Don't want to do that one again. Amen. Be obedient to those things we know. Amen. Even when they take us out of our comfort zone. Amen. We all doing okay? All right. Verse 3. Do I have verse 3 on that sheet of paper? Just. Oh, then you guys. Then you got your other Bible in front of you? Then that's the what I'm going to use. I'm going to use my New King James. Verse 3. It's interesting here. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to everyone who is among you. Wait, I know I read that wrong. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has given to each one a measure of faith, or as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. This is interesting. You know what? I just saw something interesting. Did verse 2 have something about thinking? Does verse 3 have something about thinking? They both do, and in the middle of it, wasn't there something about finding the will of God? Wow. Folks, our thought life and the way we think is going to play a major role on finding those, those personalized aspects of your life that are unique to you. Because, see, we've got God's written word to all of us. You know, Betsy, help me remember. You remember it. What is the will of God? To do humbly and act.
Do justice.
Say it again.
Do justice,
love mercy, walk humbly. What does the Lord require of me? You can take that verse of scripture. There you go. Say it again. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. Well, start there. That's a good start, amen? And as we do those things, and we continually get our mind renewed, transformed, total reformation, and bring the Holy Spirit in it. How does the Holy Spirit come in it? Well, it's like this. How many of you have ever been studying your Bible and you're going along and you're reading something and then another reference will come up? And you go to that other reference and more light comes. See, that's letting the Holy Spirit work. And one of the things, I like something that Guy Dunnick said years ago. He said, all word... and you can dry up. All spirit, and you blow up. Word and spirit together, and you grow up.
Amen.
Put both of them together. Put the Word of God and the Holy Spirit together, and we'll grow up. You ever run across any spirit-filled people that, oh boy, yeah. And how many of you know this? Sometimes you'll run across some people and you go, oh boy. But if you listen down here, you go, oh, that's God. John the Baptist was of God. But you can guaranteed he didn't look the part. You can be guaranteed the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like it. We got to get where we're... Holy Spirit and Word both. Amen? Both. Can't just go by sight. Got to be sensitive in our spirit. Amen. So, keep going. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. I just want to take a few minutes and tap on something and throw a thought into your head. I got stuff here, but I'm not going to dig into all of it. I know that. Did you know in verse 3, I can find, there could be more, but I'm going to put it to this. I can find three groups of people in verse 3. When I read verse 3, I can quickly come up with three groups of people. And it's out of experience of life. And Paul, he's given a grace here and experiences life. A grace was given to him to say this to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. How many of you identified that group? There's a group of people, there's individuals who can think more highly of themselves than they ought to. Okay? But to think soberly. And then there's that group of people. There's that group of people that think soberly. They get it nailed right. They think about themselves the way the Father would have them think about themselves. And then there's another group of people that you maybe don't see in this verse of Scripture, but I think this next group of people can be the biggest people in the body of Christ, the biggest group of people in the body of Christ. And that's the group of people who thinks less of themselves than the Father thinks of them. They won't see themselves as the Father sees them. There's a group of people, they live below their true selves. They live below who the Father has called them to be. And it's my experience as a pastor, and I'm pushing on 30 years now. Turn and look at somebody and just shake your head in disbelief and go, that can't be true. He's only 25. It blows me away. I am pushing 30 years of ministry. Wow. Wow. That's just making me smile. For this fact, I haven't quit. Oh, glory to God. And you guys must be awesome. You want to know one of the reasons why you must be awesome? Because 25 of those 30 years is here. You know what a lot of ministers do? I'm out of here. Thank you, guys. Thank you. With all seriousness, thank you. Because I can tell you, how many of you know my weakest place? In me. If the enemy wants to hit me, I know my place. I know my weakest spot. You know what it is? It's connected to that people pleaser thing. And if people are displeased with me, I want to run. Pew! I want to run. That is so hard for me. I'm still here. Thank you, guys. There are places in life and ministry where you have made it so much easier for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for not running this shepherd off. You know, a lot of churches run pastors off. They do. They run them off. I do have a bit of a backbone in me, and I can be stubborn on occasion. And hopefully that's in a good way. Pastor Dean Moffat down at Rhema, he said this. He said, you know, velvet and steel. Velvet and steel. You got to be velvet on the outside, but a backbone of steel. That's really true. How many of you know that's true for life? How many of you know that's true for parenting? There's times we need to hug those kids and cuddle them and bring them in close and just hold them. And then there's sometimes we just need to send. I ain't moving. And you're still grounded. Period. And you can get your friends to call me. You can work on your mom. You can do whatever you want. I ain't moving. And I love you dearly. Okay. So, hallelujah. My experience as a pastor is most folks live below their true self. That's why there's a little mini book back there by Kenneth Hagin Sr. I recommend, and I give that book away more than any other book. The church gives it away, I should say, more than any other book. And it's called In Him. It's who you really, really are. Let's just for a moment here head with me to one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And while I'm doing this, okay, y'all doing all right? Y'all glad you're here? Y'all getting something? All right, Psalms 139. And then somebody go to Ephesians 2:10. Psalms 139 and some one person. Who's going to Ephesians 2:10 also? Thank you, Ernie. Nobody was raising their hand, so you just volunteered. Psalms 139. You guys are all beating me to Psalms, aren't you? Psalms 139. And you know what happens when you're a pastor and you're in the same place for a long time? There are certain people that come to mind when you turn to certain verses of Scripture. And this is a verse of Scripture. I never turn to this verse of Scripture anymore without thinking about Mark Hartman. Because he quoted it one time. He's quoted it more than once. But he quoted it and he brought it up and he mentioned it. And it's like, dang, that's good, Mark. Where is that? So he told me where it was. And then it's just been a place I like to go. But it talks about us. Talks about you. Psalms 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. That is a life. That being inside of that woman is a life. Amen? It is a life. You think there's ever been any women wrestle with, should I have an abortion or shouldn't I? Think any women have ever wrestled with that? You know they have. If this is part of their thinking, then the lie that the world tells them gets dealt with. And finding out the Father's will becomes a lot clearer. See, the world says it's not a life. Is that what God says? That's not what God says. So if I have God's thinking in my mind, how hard is it for me to know the Father's will? It's not that hard. But just think about it. What, for some reason, I don't know. Yes, I do. It's the enemy. It's Satan. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. He's trying to sway. You know, because I've been sitting here thinking and running through my head, why on earth would people push so hard to push people into an abortion? Why would they do that? The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Satan's behind that push. He's behind that push. But if the individual in their thinking, oh, let's just keep reading. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, we're talking about you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow. See, I like this subject matter. I like this subject matter a lot. I like talking about who the true you is in Christ. That's a favorite subject matter of mine. And it's one, how many of you have ever run across people who had trouble accepting the awesomeness of who they were? Anybody in here ever had trouble accepting the awesomeness of who you are in Christ? And sometimes we have trouble accepting that because we know us. I know me. And then I'm learning what he has to say about me. And I'm going, that and this ain't lining up. How can that be true when I know me? Well, let God be true and every man a liar. Who's right? Who's right? This or me? This is right. So do I want to make this conform to me, or am I going to have me conform to this? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get me to conform to this. And you know what? This is another place where thinking in a lot of the church world, and I think thinking outside of the church world, is just wrong. Did you know conforming to this is the most freeing, liberating thing a person can do? How many of you would like to live free? Then conform to this, because in here is liberty. All right. right. Somebody keep James in mind, and maybe we'll get to Ephesians, Ernie. But let me just read. For I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That fearfully is just awe. Wow. 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 It's like yesterday we were talking. Our son Caleb had shoulder surgery. And we've learned this. Did you know that the most complicated joint in the human body is the shoulder? As you look at that thing can do. You look at all the ways that that thing can move and the strength that it has. So different than a knee. You know, just back and forth. Most complicated. Did you know that the way you are made is awesome? And we can start to just take it for granted. The way the human body is put together, the things that the human body can do. Wow. Yeah, I get excited. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Marvelous are your works. Well, who are his works? Go ahead. Sawyer, come here. Stand up. You want to see something marvelous? Just look out there. That is marvelous. How would you all like to see something marvelous? No, don't you dare. Don't you dare. I know, but see, I just about said something wrong there. They love to see marvelous things. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, just marvelous. Just everybody in here is marvelous. Glory to God. Do you think about yourself that way? Do you talk about yourself that way? Folks, when you catch yourself talking about you different than God does, stop it. In fact, you ought to give people permission who are around you to listen to you talk about you and let them have permission that they hear you talking about you other than how God talks about you to interrupt you and get you to hush. Yes, both husbands and wives. You ought to say, I told the servants' council, I said, you hear me talking in a way I shouldn't. You all have permission to tell me to stop. You have permission to call me on it. Why? Because I know how important words are. I know how important words are. And I don't want to go around talking in a way that God doesn't see me. And you know what? I don't want to hear you. And you know, did you all know when you came here to church, you gave me permission to get in the middle of your business? You did. You gave me permission. And I believe that I'm going to take fuller advantage of it in the days to come. I hear you lying to you about you. I will talk to you about it. I will call you a liar to your face. I will say, stop that now. You quit that lying. Amen? Don't you go saying something ugly about you that God doesn't say about you. It started getting quiet on me. How many of you noticed that? It started getting seriouser. Hey, I'm from up north. Don't knock us, y'all. Oh, glory to God. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. Oh, I get excited about this. They were all written. Huh. Now, what? What? There's a book. There's a book, and there's stuff written in this book about you. Did you know God wrote a book for you and about you before you ever even were? He did. Wow. And in your book, turn to look at somebody, say, your book. Not your book. Your book. In your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me. He wrote a book for you. He wrote a book. He's got a book, and in you are days fashioned for you. Wow. In your book, they were all written, days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. What's precious from God to you? His thoughts. They're precious. The thoughts he has to you, they're precious. You ever have somebody speak words to you and without sounding cheesy, but I don't know if I can talk without sounding cheesy, can I? If this is going to come out cheesy, I'm quite certain. I'm stuck right here. That's so precious. You know, you ever had those? Oh man, those are precious words. Those are precious words. You ever had someone speak precious words to you? Anybody, you ever had them and you've tucked them in your heart? How many of you can grab some of those words that were spoken to you maybe 30 years ago? And you can go and you can pull them out. You can pull them out. You can get a hold of them. And they're full of life still. They still produce. They still produce. You know what? That's God's word to you. That's God's word to you. It's precious. The thoughts that he has for you. The thoughts that he has towards you. Whew. Boy, how he sees us. Oh, how he loves us. Amen. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. How many of you have been on a beach, or how many of you have never been on a beach? We've all been on a beach. One beach. How many grains of sand are in that one beach? How many thoughts does God have towards you that are precious? Will you let him in? 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 Will you agree? Will you agree with him? And you might say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No, but I know what I've done. I know what I've done. I know what I've done. I don't have to hear your ugly story. I got my own. I got my own ugly story. I know it better than anybody. I got it. But I got another story. I got my Heavenly Father's story. I got his thoughts. And I let him in. And that was a real pivotal place. As a real key factor in the whole deal was letting him in. Okay? Letting him in. But I don't deserve that. That's not the point. The point is, he's right. The point is, he loves you. The point is, this is what he's said. So let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true in you. Let him be true in you. Let what he says about you be you. Don't keep him out. Don't keep his love out. Don't keep his goodness out. And when we keep what he says out of our thought life, then we're keeping out truth. And we're keeping out freedom and liberty. You know what? This is for people here today. I don't know. I kind of get a sense that people are just absorbing. People are just taking in. I hope so. Amen. You are who the Father says you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are redeemed. You are delivered. You are forgiven. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You are marvelous. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a head and not a tail. You're above and not beneath. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Hallelujah. You are qualified. You're redeemed. Glory. Let's go ahead and stand up. Amen. Well, that wasn't the shortest sermon I ever preached. I blew it. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know that every one of us in here has sinned? Every one of us in here is blown. Every one of us in here is messed up. Amen. But do you, not does the person next to you, not does mom, not does dad, not was grandpa, not, no. You, I'm talking to you right now. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you met Him? Have you said, Jesus, yes. If you're in this building and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know you've sinned, you know you've blown it, you know you've messed up, but you've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. You can today. And there'll be, Brian, will you and Marge come on up? And Kim and Betsy, will you come on up? Praise God. Thank God for these people that are willing to pray for you, willing to take time, willing to hang out. Be here longer than most anybody else. You know, wait till the end. You know, just thank God for them. You know, guys, these guys are gifted to pray. They love to pray. They want to bless you. They want to be servants and vessels that God works through. So if you're in this building and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, please come forward today and do so. Any one of these folks would be glad to pray with you. If you're here, and there's just, you just want someone to pray with you. You got a wrestling match. You got something you're struggling with. You got something where you want somebody to stand with you in agreement. Come on up. They'd love to pray for you. If you need physical healing in your body, you know what? God still heals people today. Do you know how many miracles are going to take place today on the face of the earth? There's literally thousands of people that'll get healed today. I believe that. And why not here? Why not? Don't get in the road. Amen. Don't get in the way. Don't stop His goodness from coming to you. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope this morning went as fast for you as it did for me. Oh, it flew by. God, You're so good. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we worship You and praise You. We love You and glorify You. We honor You. We exalt You. And Father, I've done my part, and I thank You that You always do Your part. The worship team did their part. The sound booth people did their part. People that are here, they've come, done their part. And Father, You'll always do Your part. Always. Always. And when we step out in faith, You meet us. And Father, it's just my heart that everything You have to give to people today is received. Just received. And Father, where we can stand with people and agreement with them and hold their hands up like Moses' hands were held up by Aaron and Hur, and a great victory was won. Where we can do that for each other in this place, God. We can hold each other's hands up. We do that. So Father, as we get ready to, you know, bring this service to an end, we want to do so in a way where more is poured out and where more is given to people. So thank You, Father, and thank You, Holy Spirit, right now for talking to people's hearts. And if there's someone here that's never said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit talks to them right now. So listen. Listen. Is He talking to you right now? Is He saying to you, Go ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Go up front and pray with those people and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is that stirring around in your heart right now? Is that running through the inside of you? Well, if it is, I exhort you to go ahead and be obedient. And you're here and you want prayer? You want prayer? You want someone to stand with you? Come on up. Let folks pray with you. You need healing in your body? Come on up. Let folks pray with you. And so, Father, with that, I'm just going to thank you for this day. And I'm not going to ask you to go with us when we leave here, because that's a silly request. You've already told us you never leave us nor forsake us, but you're with us always. Always. So we thank you, Father, as we conclude this service and as we walk out into the rest of our day, we go with you and we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.